In 1999, I spent about 6 months in Sweden during the summer as part of a mission project and outreach, working with the Swedish church. We had such a large group of Americans and Swedes that we ended up renting an entire hotel that was at the base of the ski mountain. So it was closed down for months before we got a tour of it and occupied it. And as we were getting a tour, we were going through the kitchen, and all the cupboards were empty, the shelves were empty, the refrigerators were turned off and empty, except for a bowl in the middle of one of the tables with a with some vasa bread in it, which is this rye, dry cracker type of bread. You can buy it at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. To my surprise, one of the Swedes stepped forward, reached for the bread that had been there for maybe for months, just sitting out there. He grabbed it and took a really loud, crunching bite out of it and said, "It tastes really good." What I learned that day was the history of Sweden and how it actually survived the long, harsh winters. This rye bread, this vasa bread, would be suspended from the ceilings of their barns so that rats couldn't eat it. And it's what got them through the winter, so that they had something that, even though it dried out, it would stay preserved. And I think with the advent of refrigeration and preservatives in modern culture now, I think we've lost our connection to these staple foods that all cultures enjoy and helps them survive. For centuries, we have survived on these staple crops. In Egypt, the hieroglyphic for life is a loaf of bread. If you want to signify what life is, they understood it in terms of what sustained life, which is this staple called wheat. You'll remember that Joseph, the governor of Egypt, stored grain for 7 years during the famine. And then for 7 years, they actually pulled all that grain of wheat out of the clay jars, these large clay jars that they had buried, for years, up to a decade, and they would pull out the wheat and it would still be good for milling and making into bread. That's what God used to actually sustain not just the Egyptians, but that whole region, the whole known world at the time. You'll remember that God also preserved his people, as we heard earlier in the reading, through the manna. This bread that they didn't understand, it got its name from the question, what is it? Was ist das, is the way Martin Luther translates that. What is it? What it was the bread from heaven that sustained God's people for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. Many cultures have their own variety of a staple crop. Russians have a winter variety of wheat that they grow during the cold seasons. Asians, a lot of them have rice. Native Americans have potatoes, sweet potatoes, and corn. West Africans have yams. This daily staple, or this daily bread that cultures eat, gets them through famines, dark and cold winters, and drought. We see the effects of the lack of these staples even today. If you've read the news about Ukraine, they're the largest exporter of wheat. And because of the war there, hunger has also started to affect the Ukrainians, but also the surrounding area, because these nations around depended upon the Ukrainian crops of wheat. It goes to show how interconnected we are to one another and needing these staple crops, this daily bread, to sustain our lives. This is what we pray for every day, every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the minimal sustenance that we need for this body and this life. We need this basic food to support and strengthen our bodies. Without it, we starve and die. Without it, we can't address our greater needs emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually until we satisfy our bodies." Today, Jesus reminds us that it's no different for our spiritual lives. He says, "I am the bread of life." I am, he says, the bread of life. This is a powerful statement that Jesus is making. Jesus is using the divine name, Yahweh. He's declaring himself to be the same God who sustained his people in the garden by providing this lush garden of plant foods to sustain Adam and Eve. He's the same one that provided the bread, the wheat, for the Egyptians through Joseph, and the same one who sustained all of his people for 40 years with the bread of heaven, the manna. It means that Jesus is a capital S source. He's the source of life, and he's the source of our sustaining nutrients that we need. It's why those who heard Jesus speak these words, it's why they took offense, because they understood what he was saying. They knew Jesus' family. They knew that he was the son of a carpenter. They knew his brothers and sisters. And so they questioned how this one could claim to be both human and divine. It's difficult to imagine how this human being could give himself as heavenly food, as he says. And so it's a difficult saying, even for us. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." It suggests that you and I actually live our lives oftentimes with unnecessary hunger. Unnecessary spiritual hunger and thirst. We don't need to feel empty. We don't need to run on empty, emotionally, spiritually, or otherwise. Jesus is the bread of life. He's there to sustain us, body and soul. And so we don't need to fill ourselves up on the world's junk food. It will leave us unsatisfied and hungry. It won't even deliver us the nutrients that we need. The world's food spoils in times of famine and difficulty. The world's food will not last the cold nights and the dark nights of the soul. The prophet Amos says that there is a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We know that the things of the world cannot satisfy a hungry heart. Our spiritual stomachs are made to feast on Christ himself, on the bread of heaven. French scientist and philosopher Blaise Pascal said that each of us have a God-shaped vacuum, a God-shaped void in our hearts that can only be filled by God through Christ. Our stomachs have a bread of heaven void that can only be filled by the bread of heaven in life. Nutrition is such a basic human need that we have. It's why soup kitchens, food pantries, and packing boxes, as we do right here in the sanctuary, the youth, fire department, police department, helping us pack up these goods, these staple crops for the poor and the hungry, is so important for us to do. It opens people's hearts to the bread of life, Jesus. As we fill their mouths, we can also offer to fill their hearts with faith in Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life, the source from heaven to feed the world. He feeds us through the word that we've heard, through the liturgy, through our prayers, through faithful sermons, even our hymns. As we often sing in our worship, as we approach this meal, we say, "This is the feast of victory for our God." Jesus is the eternal Word who offers himself on the cross as heavenly food. Just as we see the bread on the altar, so we see Jesus offering himself to us. He feeds us the forgiveness of sins that will never rot or spoil, that lasts a lifetime. He gives us eternal life also by rising from the tomb. He sustains us with these nutrients, his resurrected power, and the bread of life, his true body and blood. We eat, you and I drink, with the assurance that he strengthens and preserves us with his bread of life, his true body and blood, to life everlasting. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." Taste and see that the Lord has come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.